And so they came, just as Walter S. Davis had envisioned, the best black high school basketball teams from all over the country. They came from Oklahoma and Kansas, Ohio and Arkansas, West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky and Indiana, Illinois and Alabama, Texas and Missouri. And when Newton Thomas' team arrived on the Tennessee State University campus, Horse Cave was the sentimental and some said genuine favorite to win them all. That did not surprise Newton Thomas. Among their victims that season had been Pearl High, the biggest, best team in Nashville. The tournament was being played in Pearl's 4,500-seat gym. After two opening round wins, Horse Cave met Oklahoma City Douglas, the Oklahoma State champion. With only seconds to play, Horse Cave led by 1 point. Douglas had possession directly under the Horse Cave basket. Against the smothering Horse Cave colored defense, there appeared to be nowhere to inbound the ball. Then Nate Taylor, the Douglas star who was standing near the foul line, called out, "Here, let me take it out." He began walking toward the basket. Horse Cave player defending him relaxed. Nate Taylor broke toward the basket, took a quick pass, and laid it in. Horse Cave could not get off another shot. Horse Cave's 65-game winning streak was over. The next day, Oklahoma City won the national title. A few days later, a vehicle with Tennessee license plates pulled up in front of Clarence Wilson's house. Out stepped Nate Taylor. With him was Skip McLean, Nate Taylor's Douglas High School coach. As he had been rumored before the national tournament began, the coach of the winning team had indeed been hired as an assistant at Tennessee State. What they wanted, they said, was for Clarence Wilson and Carl Hellum to join them at Tennessee State. That fall, Carl Hellum, Clarence Wilson headed for Nashville. There was no full free rides for athletes at Tennessee State. Players were required to work on campus 2 hours each day. Nor did being recruited guarantee a place on the roster. All it meant was an opportunity to try out with more than 200 others, including everyone who had played at TSU the previous season. That fall, when the tryouts were over, Henry Arthur Keene's roster included 9 freshmen. Only one returning upperclassman, a one-armed marvel named Boyd Bowie, had made the team. As a child, Boyd Bowie had lost an arm in an automobile accident in Arkansas. If anyone doubted that a one-armed man could play a significant role on a top-notch college basketball team, John Hillard was not among them, not after what happened in his first scrimmage. John Hillard, who had starred at Lachlan Wayne in Ohio, took one look at where Boyd Bowie's arm should have been and knew immediately what he should do. He would fake right, streak past Bowie's armless left shoulder. But when he attempted to do it, Boyd Bowie did not do what Hillard expected. Instead of reaching across his body with his right hand, thereby crossing his feet in the process, Bowie reverse pivoted, and just as Hillard thought he had an easy layup, Bowie pinned the ball against the backboard. "Don't you think anybody's ever tried to do that before, young fella?" Bowie asked the embarrassed Hillard. Hillard also learned that Bowie could tie his shoes well as his necktie with one hand. Back in the privacy of his dormitory room, Hillard attempted to do both. He could do neither. That fall, when Tennessee A&I opened its season, all 5 starters were freshmen, including Oklahoma City's Douglas, Nate Taylor, Josh Grider, Frank Lewis from Kansas City, Kansas. The other 2 were Clarence Wilson and Carl Hellum. That fall, as the nights cooled and the brittle red and yellow leaves tumbled across the sidewalk, Henry Arthur Keene's prize recruiting class talked a student into coaxing Mr. Knight, the janitor, over the little diner called The Spoon across the street for what became a nightly free meal. Soon as he was gone, the Tigers forced open a gym window and went in and played. They also rigged the window so that even if he came back and chased them out, they could get back in and play all night. When he got wind of what was going on, Henry Arthur Keene discontinued curfew hours. His boys were going to be out all night. At least he knew where they were and what they were doing. Before long, he gave them their own key. But how good, how really good, were Henry Arthur Keene's brash young tigers? That December, they found out, and so did the entire world of black college basketball. In a tournament in Prairie View, Texas, they were matched against the Langdon, Oklahoma University Lions, the same Langston Lions who 3 months later would beat the Harlem Globetrotters. Langston was heavily favored to win the tournament. The Lions had won 50 games in a row. Marcus Haynes was averaging nearly 30 points a game. Against Tennessee State, he'd score 25. But in the final minutes, Tennessee State pulled away to win 72-59. It was a loss that would haunt Marcus Haynes for the rest of his life. Over the next 4 years, the Tigers would win 118, lose only 8, and finish their senior season 32-0, despite the fact that Carl Hellum decided to get married and didn't return for his senior year. Four of them, Boyd Bowie, Clarence Wilson, Carl Hellum, and Josh Greiner, would sign with the Harlem Globetrotters. Clarence Wilson would become Johnny Wilson's teammate, roommate, and lifelong friend.